Welcome to Family Policy Matters, an engaging and informative weekly radio show and podcast produced by the North Carolina Family Policy Council. Hi, this is John Rustin, president of NC Family, and we're grateful to have you with us for this week's program. It's our prayer that you will be informed, encouraged, and inspired by what you hear on Family Policy Matters, and that you will feel better equipped to be a voice of persuasion for family values in your community, state, and nation. Today we bring you part one of a show with Dan Darling that originally aired in July 2019.
Thanks for joining us this week for Family Policy Matters. When public policy gets ugly or difficult, many Christians are tempted to opt out, to retreat to their churches and just concentrate on evangelism. Well, I think we can all agree that our top priority as Christians is to make disciples. However, in addition, as citizens of a country where we elect our leaders and where we have input in setting public policy, we are held responsible for what those policies are. Abdicating that responsibility is really not an option. Well, most of us know that, but it's always helpful to be reminded. So today, we're joined by Dan Darling, a pastor and vice president of communications at the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission of the Southern Baptist Convention. And we're going to discuss why American Christians have a duty to stay involved in the public policy arena. Dan, welcome to Family Policy Matters.
Hey, it's good to be with you guys and grateful for the really important work that you all are doing in North Carolina.
Thank you. Dan, why should we as Christians care about secular laws?
I think there's a number of reasons. I think number one, laws ultimately are essentially how we order ourselves as a society, you know, how a given society orders itself. Laws affect the flourishing of our neighbors. So if we're to love our neighbors as ourselves, you know, our laws reflect the way that we think about our neighbors. So, you know, people will say that, you know, you can't legislate morality, but every law is a reflection of our morality. So if you have laws, for instance, against murder or laws against embezzlement, you're saying as a society that those two things are, you know, are you're making a moral statement by saying those things are wrong. And we want to have laws that protect the vulnerable from crimes committed against them in that way. And so I think we should care about the laws. I also think because we are citizens of a representative republic, when we read Romans 13, for instance, about the way that God delegates power to civil authorities and how God will judge civil authorities based on how they rule and the welfare of their people, he's not just talking particularly in our society about those who about our politicians and our leaders, but in some ways he's talking to us as well, because we have a share in the power. We're a government of the people, by the people, and for the people. So, you know, our share of power through our vote or through our, you know, voice and any way that we can influence it, we will be held accountable for that as well. So I don't think there's an option for us to sort of not care about the laws that govern our communities and our country.
So what specific biblical principles do you feel like regulate our involvement and the relationship between religion and government? You've just mentioned Romans 13. Any other things that you can think of that we could take into consideration?
Well, I think at a basic level, the idea of human dignity, that every person is created in the image of God and every person has dignity and worth. And so at the very basic level, we want to create societies that recognize that, laws that protect vulnerable image bearers from being exploited or assaulted, laws that see reflected dignity of image bearers. So I think that at the very basic level is something that we should care about. You know, the Bible has a very robust vision for human dignity, starting in Genesis, where it talks about how every person is made in the image of God, all the way through King David describing in Psalm 139, that every human being is knit in the womb of their mother, is created with care and concern by God. And so, you know, laws that recognize that, I think, is something that Christians should work for.
What about justice? So how do we see the Bible's call for us to bring justice reflected in a way that would then influence how we look at public policy?
Well, I think we should care about justice. And justice is really, I mean, when you look through the scriptures, justice is mentioned quite a bit. I mean, justice is, you know, in many ways equated with righteousness, this idea that, you know, what is right, what is just, what reflects the glory of God. In many ways, it's used as a kind of a way to describe the, you know, inequity or imbalances in society, making things right. Justice is about setting things right. We have a God of justice. So Christians should care about justice. And I think in our specific application, it's merely, you know, where are the areas in our civil society where the vulnerable are being exploited or assaulted, where there's gaps in terms of their ability to flourish, and I think we should care about that. Now, there's ways that the word justice can be loaded when you talk about social justice, and you know sometimes people hear that word and think automatically sort of Marxism and all that. But I don't think we should let that term be hijacked by, you know, left-leaning ideologies. I think justice is a very biblical term that we should care about.
So if we care about it as Christians, what do we do when we are faced with unjust laws?
Well, I think what we should do is try to work to change them. I mean, this is kind of part of the privilege we have at living in a representative republic, that we have an opportunity to make our voices heard. We can speak out on issues, but we can also work to talk to our leaders and try to influence them to pass good legislation that rights those injustices, that creates better laws and better legislation. We can use the ballot box and vote for people who will vote based on the right, you know, principles that will commit to making better laws that are more just. You know, for instance, you take one particular issue like the abortion issue. You know, that's an issue where the current law of the land today, as it stands, is that the unborn people in most states, unborn people from conception to birth, really are unprotected from death, that they are not considered full human beings. The Supreme Court doesn't consider them full human beings. We believe that's unjust based on what the scripture says, that every human being is created in the image of God. So we, as citizens of this republic, of a representative republic, we should work hard to create laws that recognize the dignity of the unborn. I don't think laws are all we need to do. I don't think that's the full extent of our activism. I think there's other areas in terms of changing hearts and minds, in terms of spreading the gospel, in terms of discipleship, making arguments in the public square. But I think laws are a big part of that. And so I think we should work to change laws that are unjust.
You're listening to Family Policy Matters, a radio show and podcast from NC Family. You can sign up to receive an updated podcast each week on iTunes or any podcast app. To listen to the show online and for more resources that will help you be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org. So we hear people say quite often that religious liberty or religion is fine within the church walls, but we don't have a right to bring our religion into government discussions or perhaps in discussions about law and policy. Why is this a dangerous trap for believers to allow that kind of language to be used, but also what do we do in the face of that?
You know, I think obviously laws can't do everything, right? You know, you can pass laws and you still have injustice, you still have crimes, but I think laws at least reflect kind of morality, and they help, I think, rightly order a society. You know, I think the founders understood that you need both law, you need the rule of law, you need liberty, but you also need the kind of mediating institutions like the church and in other institutions that help form people in ways that laws can and can't. I'm reading a terrific book right now by Tim Carney called The Alienated America. And one of the things he does is he walks through some of the data that, you know, there's a whole range of social ills that follow when civil society is disrupted in communities, when you don't have people attend, particularly people attending church, but also other metrics like marriage and other things like that. And so I think all those things work to really help people flourish.
So I think I'm hearing you say that the partnership between people of faith in their church and public policy can be a really good partnership.
Yeah, it can be. And obviously there's different callings, right? So, you know, not every Christian is called to be a legislator. Not every Christian is called to be an activist in terms of at the level of making and creating public policy, but many are. We need people at all levels of society. We need Christians in every sector really kind of applying the gospel to their calling. We do need good people in government. We do need people on congressional staffs and in all these agencies to help create good policy and good law. We need people who are activists. We need people who are thinkers and scholars at, say, like think tanks, to really think deeply and long term about some really intractable problems and how we can solve them. So I think the relationship between Christians and government, Christians and public policy, is really important. You know, there's a thought that, you know, because we want separation of church and state, which means we want the government to stay out of the church's business in terms of, you know, infringing on the church's right to practice religion freely. Sometimes we interpret that to mean the opposite, that means Christians should not be involved in levels of government. Christians should not apply their faith to their work or to public policy. And I think really that's a, you know, number one, I don't think that's even possible, because everybody that comes to the table when it comes to government and policy has a worldview. It has a faith system. And so I think to tell Christians they need to set that aside is really wrong. So I think it's really important for Christians to be involved in all levels of society. I do think that the most important thing that happens every week, though, is what happens when people gather in church. So as Christians, even though we're involved in all levels of society, and even though what we're doing takes us, what we're doing is more than what we're doing on Sunday, it's never less. So gathering weekly as the people of God is always the most important thing that's happening that week.
Right. Do you think that people that are involved in public policy understand or maybe minimize the power of prayer that is brought to these issues? I mean, we're commanded specifically to pray for our government and our leaders.
Yeah, I think so. I really think so. And listen, all of us who are involved in this public policy issues or involved on a day-to-day basis thinking about these things, it's very easy for us to forget that we're not all powerful, that strategy and policy are vital and important, but ultimately our biggest and most important duty is to pray, to acknowledge our dependence on the Lord, that we cannot do our jobs, we cannot do what God has called us to do without being dependent on the Lord. And I think, you know, I personally believe that our spiritual disciplines shape us for our life in the world. And so you can't have one without the other. I think, you know, God calls us to mission in the world, but he also calls us to maintain healthy spiritual disciplines of hearing the word, prayer, reading our Bibles, of walking with him. And those things form us in powerful ways that then enable us to do the work he's called us to do, and do it in a healthy dependence on him.
You've been listening to Family Policy Matters. This has been part one of a two-part show that originally aired in July of 2019 with Dan Darling of the Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. Be sure to tune in next week for part two. To listen to this show online and for more resources on how you can be a voice of persuasion in your community, go to our website at ncfamily.org. That's ncfamily.org. Thanks again for listening, and may God bless you and your family.